Whenever you're ready, though.
All right. Yep. So my stocking
was... Wait, let me ask you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, you just go.
So my stocking...
Okay, so who's your...
No. I'm out. See you guys.
You want to do some rookie trivia?
I almost hit leave studio.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Panero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Come. Wait, two.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 220. We made it. It's like a celebration show. With that said, we're jumping into the holidays. We've got stocking stuffers. I don't know if any of you remember them from last year. Hopefully you've all hung around from last year. But no, seriously, this is going to be a fun show. We've got stocking stuffers, throwing some coal in the stockings per usual. But we have to finish up those rankings from the 2020-2021 ranks. And I am here, as always, with the feverish Fornero, who was the only one so far to mention Antonio Gibson in his top 10 rankings. Spaceman, the only one with T. Higgins thus far in his top 10 rankings.
Swags, you teased us that you had T. Higgins, and you teased us, and then you took it away.
Did. I forgot about CeeDee Lamb. How could you do that? And Dave hasn't mentioned Lamb either. I'm wondering, maybe as I'm coming up today, we're doing 5 through 1. And then me, who so far the only one to mention J.K. Dobbins in the top 10. Fornero, you are out of contention in your league, and I am offering you J.K. Dobbins for your Antonio Gibson for my contending team. I need that piece. I'm not big into Gibson, but he's going to help me moving forward to put some money in my pocket this year. Would you hit accept on that J.K. Dobbins side, or are you holding on to Antonio Gibson?
I guess according to my ranks, I'm holding on. I think it's...
I was trying to call your bluff. I was seeing if you'd hit accept on that. I was trying to change your rankings.
Yeah, no, I think it's what I see versus what I haven't seen, I guess, at this point. So, and I made a strong case for Gibson. He just made it inside my top 10. I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Not going to shake me. Ask me in September.
Ask me after a couple more weeks. A couple more of these down weeks from Antonio Gibson. We get crickets.
I'm glad you didn't ask me what to do there, because I wouldn't know what contending's like. So I'm glad you didn't ask me.
Well, Dave.
I kid.
I'm going to try to tell you. And how could we? I don't know.
We have a winner.
I don't like to talk about it, Dave.
That's what every Tuesday morning feels like with Swags when he looks at his lineups.
Well, so, if you're not going to talk about it, then I'll talk about it and say both you boys advance in Scott Fishbowl. Heck yeah.
Yeah, but Swags didn't have to do anything with his first round bye. Just sat there, didn't even set a lineup. I had to earn it. My George Kittle share had to earn it. Yeah, no, I'm happy about it. Let's see what happens.
I'll tell you what, though. You mentioned bye weeks, and I have a couple bye weeks, and I feel so lucky in those leagues because I look at – those are the teams where I'm just like, oh, my gosh, how would I have started a lineup this week?
Yeah, it's a rough week.
And one is Predators, where I felt pretty decent till the last few weeks, and man, I feel like that – team could use the week off. So yeah. We'll see. I'm hoping they come back strong. And
I think I got the 3 seed in that one. Does that sound right? So I have to
three
play.
3 or 4, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, somewhere in there. 3 or 4. And just found out today Hopkins is out for the season most likely. So that's fun.
I believe you'll play me if you advance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't want to play you. Even without Henry, you're a tough team to beat.
Best of luck to you. And I think I've decided to hold on to Henry at this point.
You have to, I think.
some of the offers I get, I'm just kind of like, hey, I don't know. But Spaceman, why don't we start with you in that five spot, sitting nice and cozy there, coming just after Najee Harris, number five.
I'm going CeeDee Lamb here. He has just been, as far as the young wide receivers in the league, he's been an example too. And Dak has struggled. The Dallas passing offense has not been quite the same as it was last year when it was an extremely high volume passing offense. And a little more balanced with Zeke healthy and Pollard taking some of the reps. But CeeDee Lamb has had a very nice target share. And he's followed up with some very solid points per game numbers and fantasy points in year two. Here's CeeDee's going to be a star going forward. I'm really excited to have him on several squads here, and CeeDee's definitely, he hasn't put up like one of those legendary Antonio Brown type seasons, or even like a Julio season or whatever have you, but very solid season in year two here, showing very promising things moving forward.
I had a feeling that you were going to be jam-packed with wide receivers in your top five.
Very true. I wouldn't be surprised if I had the
three. Actually, you have three wide receivers and two running backs.
Yeah, and I think I guess I probably have the most out of any of us.
Well, welcome to the CeeDee Lamb party.
Welcome to the CeeDee Lamb party, brought to you by Rookie Fever. But now you're the president.
Yeah, he is, right? He's got him highest ranked.
That makes me the vice president. These are some stud wide receivers.
Dude.
I don't know. Wide receivers we're going to be talking about for years to come, honestly. We're going to all favor a few differently. This is going to where you see my running backs though. So Feverish, I'm curious how you kicked off your five.
Speaking of wide receivers, in the number five spot, Kyle Pitts. The only knock on Kyle Pitts is that he's not living up to expectations. Those expectations were kind of ridiculous when you consider that you are on an all-time track to beat Mike Ditka's 1,076 receiving record. I don't know how a non-record-breaking season is a letdown, but apparently Kyle Pitts is still letting teams down. It was all about the expectations being too high. He has just, quote-unquote, I have air quotes here just so anybody can't see me, just two 100-yard games, which happened actually back-to-back when everyone was really, really excited about Kyle Pitts. 27th among all NFL players with 709 yards, but that 709 yards only puts him behind Kelsey and Andrews. The thing that really knocks, I guess, on him is the one touchdown. That's going to hurt him in the rankings. We've been talking about that all season, is the lack of touchdowns, but I don't think that has anything to do with Kyle Pitts. It has to do with this offense. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Kelsey in his rookie season only played one snap. Kittle only had one 100-yard game, and that was his final game of his rookie season. And Andrews never hit that mark in his. Kyle Pitts is killing it. It just is all about living up to people's insane expectations for a tight end in year one.
Yeah. You know, I don't hate that at all. I had Kyle Pitts at my number six, so to see him in here at the top five is pretty nice. Help his average out a lot. And I think you're right, man. I think he's going to have a nice future.
Oh, very nice. There's a quarterback change coming.
What's crazy, too, is he's got like 10 red zone targets, which is pretty good if you're looking at these, you know, for a rookie tight end. 10 red zone targets is pretty nice. It's just not coming together. That offense, like you mentioned, Finero. So you can't blame Pitts for what's going on.
I guess you can. I won't.
And two, that was his strength at Florida. He was a dynamic weapon in that area. So it's surprising that we haven't, that Atlanta hasn't figured that out. I mean, I'm sure I'm not saying they're idiots and they can't figure it out, but it's just, I'm excited for when that flashes, because you know it's there, when that dynamism in the red zone.
I think a big part of it too is when Calvin Ridley exited stage left on him. I think he's literally being covered like a wide receiver. I mean, he kind of was before he went out, but just really drawing some coverage or a great corner really, really hurt this team and absolutely hurt Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's worth mentioning. Absolutely.
Now, question, a little bit more Kyle. I'm sorry if we're trying to move a little quicker here, but Kyle Pitts moving forward, Matt Ryan moves on. Are we worried about Atlanta being able to find a quarterback?
I mean, possibly. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, they're
frozen.
That's true. Yeah.
they're technically in the playoff hunt. I don't think it's going to happen for them, but that puts them in the middle of the pack for the draft. I haven't looked at the draft closely enough to see if they have a pick from another team. But I believe this class, as we all have talked about a couple times, doesn't really have a plethora of QBs. But the QBs that are going to be in this class could drop to that area. So in other words, like the best QB in this class won't be worth a top five pick. It would be a shot, right? I mean, think about the QBs that we, you know, NFL teams have let slip that far. Think about, you know, we got Mac Jones this year. Think about teams that fantasy football teams, Josh Allen, that Herbert, that have just kind of said, oh, well, this guy's not good enough to be drafted maybe this high in Superflex. Could trade up. Sure. So I think there's a lot of possibilities. And I think because of those possibilities, I'm
maybe
not.
Maybe they get Gardner.
No, you know, he's playing. You know, he's in Philly for long term, though.
It'll be another Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Could you imagine if that's how it all shook out? Man, he'd be great in Philly. I would love to see that. Seriously. And he's splitting snaps with Hurts this week, but that's due to injury. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get another start this week. But
I think he's again, that's due to injury. I think Minshew will start again.
So, yeah, we'll see, man. But yeah, I would love to see him in Philly. I don't think it's how it's going to shake out, though. But he might get a shot somewhere. My number five is Justin Jefferson, who I think I mentioned a little bit on last week's show that I have moved him above Ja'Marr Chase since we talked about these two last time. And a lot of it is just the consistency that he's shown. I'm not worried about a quarterback change if it happens. I think that Justin Jefferson will be around for the long, and we're playing dynasty here. And honestly, I think it could be worse with some of these wide receivers we've talking about. I mean, and anybody that's been listening to Rookie Fever knows that I've been pretty into Jefferson and seen what he's done 2 years in a row now. My number one ranked wide receiver from these two classes combined right here at number five, which means I'm running back the rest of the way.
It's crazy. He was wide receiver 22 through the first 8 weeks of the season. And when I saw that, I was kind of feeling like, yep, you know, this is what I said this all season. He's not going to do that 1400 yards again. Like, you got to expect a little regression off of that, even though it was his rookie season. He's not going to build off that. Then he went on a tear. So weeks 8 to 14, he was wide receiver one and has over 34 points than any other wide receiver in that span. That's Cup. That's all of them. Wide receiver one in this last seven games. Just an incredible run he's on, and it looks like he's going to go ahead and get that 1400 or more again, set at 1288 right now. Crazy, dude.
The thing is, though, the numbers were there. He had 24% target share, 9 targets a game. So the numbers were there those first 8 weeks. It hadn't pulled together. I think, let's see, those touchdowns hadn't really seen. He only had 3 touchdowns for those first 8 games. So that's when we just have to say, trust the talent we saw year one, and then what the how he's with that offense, and then good things happen. So it's exciting to see it pay off here down the stretch.
Dave, who do you have at number four? Number four.
This one really hurt me. I'm actually kind of throwing a fit that this is just how it shook out here, just because the players are so good and so close, and just how I approach my early dynasty picks here. And it's DeAndre Swift. I love DeAndre Swift. I can't say that I'm the biggest fan on the show, because Swags has his name tattooed across his shoulder. And I think on each toe, DeAndre Swift would be pretty cool to have tatted up for the flip flops. But, DeAndre Swift is he does it all. He catches the ball. He can handle, or he can take a lot of, carries in the game. He's produced this season in a very poor situation. When people said that, oh, he's going to be off in the wasteland in Detroit, Swift has shown, and he's shown up from both the points per game and an overall PPR perspective. The only thing is, the only knock that I think I kind of, the only knock I have on him is he hasn't quite been healthy the last two, his first two seasons, which I'm not a big injury risk. I don't really worry about injuries too much. I'm just the random, but would love to see a little bit more health wise from Swift. But besides that, he's a stud. He's my RB2 in dynasty. I love me some Swift.
But do you think Detroit would play Swift if they have won more than one game on the season?
You mean like he could go last week? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't heard the chatter. I know you're right there on the ground, so you hear a little bit more reports about, hey, is he, how close is he?
I mean, he's day to day. It's a shoulder injury. I don't know a ton. I'm not in a loop or anything. And not that you said that, but yeah, I don't know anything more than you. But I I don't feel like it's worth playing Swift at this point, you know?
I don't want it to become like you play through it, then you pop it, like you hurt it again, and then you get like a Dalvin Cook situation where he has a shoulder injury going forward, like you have to worry about for the rest of his career or anything. I don't want to see that with Swift at all.
This doesn't seem like you like Swift.
No. He gets tons of targets per game.
It didn't hurt you as much as it hurt me.
No, he gets tons of targets per game. He's my RB2 in Dynasty. I'm
disappointed in this ranking and what you just did to his average.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some. I have a feeling like you might help us out in the average part, but
you might be surprised. I mean, I think I'm going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Want to know my number four?
As long as it's not DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift.
Oh, my God.
That's my number four.
You're killing me. What is wrong with you guys? Is this? Did you guys get together before the show and like?
Nah, it's a wide receiver running back thing. Sorry, man.
Mess up people's teams a little bit really quick.
Only played 10 full weeks this season and still is second in receiving yards. Rushing yards seemed like quite a battle for him in the first 8 games, where he averaged 36 rushing yards on the ground per game through the first 8 weeks. But then made a big turn in week 10 and 11, where he just said, forget about those concerns, baby, and went for 130 versus Pittsburgh and another 136 versus Cleveland. Through his healthy 10 weeks, he was RB5 on the season. Just as a reminder, July and August, and I know Swags knows this, his ADP was RB12. Now DLF has him as his RB2, and so do I.
He's
your rookie RB2.
Yeah, well, this is a great rookie class. Where's Justin Jefferson? Let's play this game. Is Justin Jefferson your wide receiver too? Is Justin Jefferson
over all wide receivers?
Yeah.
I could probably say that he's my wide receiver one.
But he's 5 on this list.
But he's my first wide receiver.
I'm just saying. And there's a running back I like more than Swift in these two classes.
But how many running backs do you have in front of Swift overall?
One.
Because you just made me do it. Oh, only Taylor overall.
Yeah.
Same here.
Like, how high do I have to rank this guy for you to be happy? I told you it's a wide receiver running back thing. That's all.
I mean, for me, like, I'm building it to win it, not to have value and see what happens. I'm gonna draft my running backs. I'm gonna have my DeAndre Swift above all of these wide receivers.
If there's anything this year has taught us, Swags, is how running backs.
That's what people want you to think. That is such bullshit.
Who do you want in your playoff lineups?
Has taught us this year is that you need to draft running backs early and often, and you need to be deep at that position, and that is how you're going to go all the way. Not by like having wide receivers that are in and out of like their top games, in and out of the top rankings. Like every year it's a different wide receiver. I mean, look at AJ Brown this year. If you drafted like wide receivers high, like there've been just as many problems. Like nobody expected Cooper Kupp to be wide receiver one on the season. Honestly, like for me, there's no other way to build a team. It's hogwash. If you're playing the value game and you don't believe in yourself and you want to go draft a bunch of wide receivers, do it. But there's no way that I'm going to have my top 10 overall, we won't even say super flex rankings, begin without Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift.
Austin Eckler and Leonard Fournette are RB2 and 3.
Yep.
That's more predictable than AJ Brown being down below the top 5. That's more predictable.
Brown's just one name.
Well, you brought up one name. I just gave you two back. You brought up AJ Brown on why you don't do it. I just gave you two names.
Top 20 wide receivers.
I know for a fact. Tell me how predictable.
Pull up the top 20 wide receivers and tell me how predictable all of that was.
All I'm saying is there's a gray area. You called this strategy hogwash.
Yeah.
There's a gray area. You don't even accept it.
No.
No, it's just running backs all day. Like, I just think there's a gray area. I construct my team with balance.
I don't go out and just go
running back, running back, running back, running back.
Every time one goes down, I want one to put back in. I don't even want to worry about it.
Yeah, I know your strategy. I know how you play, and you do well with it. But to call any other strategy hogwash, I think is going too far. Balance is good, man. There's nothing wrong with balance. Because I have
balance doesn't make because I have believe two, in wide have, receivers above the – that's not balanced. I have
two wide receivers over Swift.
You can balance it out later 10. After you have your stud running backs. You can get wide receivers anywhere. Wide receivers do not matter. You can get them anywhere throughout your draft. You can get them anywhere throughout rookie drafts.
I thought this was a personal ranking show. I didn't know it was a strategy show. Sorry.
They're available for you anywhere.
I've been doing this show for you with 3 years. I'm very aware of your strategy. I have never accused it of being hogwash.
Because it works.
Right. I gotcha.
I don't know, man. Sorry. It just pains me. I'm like, where did these guys go? I'm putting Javonte Williams number 4. He's the next one up, like, of the running backs. And it would pain me, but I know that in a trade, I would probably accept Javonte Williams for Justin Jefferson just because I believe I can go find a wide receiver somewhere else when I need one. I don't know. Finero's all mad at me now because I said it's hogwash. It's like a
mom and dad are fighting. I don't know what to say. Mom and dad are fighting.
It's like an age old tale.
It's okay if you don't play fantasy football like Swags, you're doing it wrong. That's what he just told everybody.
No, it
it's exactly what you said.
No,
there's no other way to win fantasy. I'm not a zero RB guy. You know I'm not.
There are other ways to win fantasy, and other ways will work out. That is not what I'm saying. But I am definitely going against the majority that believes you have to build your teams around young wide receivers. I don't think that that is actionable advice. If you go and build your team, I will help you any way you want to. But when it falls apart, I am going to be best suited to help you if you've built your team the way I build my teams, because that's how I'm most adapted to getting out of my troubles. So for me, it just works. You know, I can help you with anything, but if you listen to my advice and the one thing you don't do the same as me is your startup, and then you want me to help you fix it, it is going to be a little bit harder for me to fix your team after you didn't build it that way. I still can, but if you took my advice and it falls apart, that's a situation I'm used to, so I can help you differently, just like a zero running back person could probably help you build that team better than I could. But man, show me your zero running back team that's beat me if you're out there.
Yeah, and I'll just say I think it's a mixture of both. Like, we got Hunter Renfro, Debo, who wasn't in there, Cooper Kupp wasn't in the top 12, but then, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, James Conner, and just one other running back. I can't remember. One other running back you just wouldn't have guessed to be in the top 12. So it's I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both here, a little balance.
And I know you're not a zero running back guy, Finero.
Not even close. I've always been about balance. I think that people that go too far one direction or the other is what I'm uncomfortable with. You know, like, you know, John Hogue is known to just hit the quarterback button all day long, and it just makes me uncomfortable. Call me a curmudgeon, I don't care. Like, I like balanced teams. I don't like that you know, I have no running back problems on I would say 90% of my team, for the record. Like, zero running. People come for my extra running back. So I have no problem with wide receiver. Like, I just don't feel like I don't feel like I need six running backs to feel good about the position.
I like to put them in my flex spots.
Yeah, no, and that's a strategy. All I'm saying is there's other ones out there that isn't yours. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of that. Spaceman, I'm afraid to ask, who do you have at
number 3? It better be a fucking running back.
No, it's Rondale Moore at 3. No, I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't even be surprised.
No, it's Jamar Chase at 3. He's putting up a bet, like, from a points per game fantasy perspective, he's putting up more points per game than Justin Jefferson did last season. He's at 24% target share, which is right up there for, he's, you know, a top 5 target share among rookies since 2009. And, you know, he's pacing to be 1 point less than Odell Beckham's best fantasy season since 2009 for rookie wide receiver. That's what he's doing. He did have a lull there. He's been scoring a lot of touchdowns that have been kind of like buoying his up. He hasn't been like week in, week out consistent, but we've seen flashes. And I think a lot of times what we talk about is sometimes with a rookie, you're not going to see the whole picture, but you see the flashes. And I think it's there with Ja'Marr Chase attached to Joe Burrow. I'm very excited to see how Ja'Marr Chase is, but everything, his WAP, his weighted opportunity rating, which combines his air yards, which it, and target share is top five, I believe, among rookies since 2009. Everything that is a fun way from an analytical point of view to look at Ja'Marr Chase. He's just putting up a great, great rookie season. And it's exciting to see it happen, because I know sometimes we're disappointed with N'Keal Harry's and others, but to see it come through, I'm really excited to have him here in the rankings.
All right, Finero, you are up.
Ja'Marr Chase is in my top three. Chase has become the fifth player in the Super Bowl era to have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdown seasons with some of the season left. Joins Odell Beckham Jr. and Mike Evans and Randy Moss in very good company. Currently has 60 catches on the season for 1,035 yards and those 10 touchdowns I mentioned. Wide receiver 7 on the season. The biggest room of improvement does come with his catch rate, Dave. His catch rate is middle of the pack, 61.2%, which is right about league average. If he was to bump that up to, let's say, 70, that would put him into an elite category. So he will continue to grow as the Bengals' top target, no doubt. So I think fans will enjoy for years to come, and so will I, Ja'Marr Chase.
And that catch rate is a little lower because he has a 13.2 ADOT. So he's getting the ball pushed down the field. Your catch rate suffers the further your targets are down the field. But yeah, Finero, welcome to the club, man.
Yeah, I was the last one to Ja'Marr Chase. Does that make me the president?
Like copycat rankings the rest of the way.
That's just going to make Swags feel better about his. Because he's going to be, this is how everybody plays. This is how everybody builds their team.
You guys are probably looking at like the same analytics sheet and everything. And yeah, I'm building it to win it and going with Najee Harris. And I would say he probably has a lot more fantasy points than Ja'Marr Chase and shown a lot more consistency in his rookie season. And I would flex him any day over Ja'Marr Chase if that was my last choice.
Twenty more fantasy points on the season than Ja'Marr.
Yeah, 1.2 more per game.
As I thought, actually,
1.2 more per game.
Yeah,
I would have guessed more.
Chase beat him week one, week five. That one doesn't count, but holy shit, he would have beat him. Chase had 34 points on Harris's bye. But I would, you know, to your point, it looks like Harris has him, you know, by a few points each week.
Yeah, and the consistency is definitely there for the running, like as a running back position.
100% to Swags' earlier point. Yes, definitely more consistent. He has a 6.7. What happened? What happened week 12, guys? I remember that. I own Harris.
I don't even know.
This is a weird week. Yeah, it was
week
25
right now. What week are we?
We just finished 14. It was a couple weeks ago. I do remember it now. That hurt me. I lost. I lost a position in the standings with that 6.7.
Hmm.
But to your point, Swag, Chase also bombed out with 6.9.
So yeah.
Way more consistency. I'll give it to you. Harris came out of the gate a little soft at 5.9 points, where Chase came out on a tear with 20.9 and then pretty much.
After week one, though, like.
Yeah.
Harris has been.
Yep. Harris had him by 6 in week 2, 6 again in week 3, 4. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's a little bit of back and forth, but for the most part. For security, definitely felt better about Najee. Not significant, but definitely better.
Mr. Dave, where are you going with number 2?
You even have to ask him. You know the next 2.
But I don't know.
Well, this is Rondell Moore. I choked about it for the third
one.
Either
now Justin Jefferson or Jonathan Taylor.
It's Justin Jefferson. And just to follow up for a little bit, because I know we talked about him a lot already, but what he's on pace for like a 350-point PPR season. Which is, or like right around there, which is elite company. He's on pace for like a 340. I'm getting confused between these last two players where they were. It's getting late in the night, but what he's pacing at is he's putting up one of those Julio Jones type seasons, one of those AJ Green type seasons. Like when I think actually to Swags's point, like 5-6 years ago, it was an extremely wide receiver dominated the fantasy landscape. Everyone built through wide receivers. And I thought last year, actually, with such a strong running back class, it switched a little bit more to running backs. This year, it's been a little bit back and forth because of the injuries. But I think we're seeing with Justin Jefferson and what his target share is, what his opportunity is, and what his fantasy points per game is we're seeing one of those elite type wide receivers that we're going to see for years to come. And he's doing it with not, I think Kirk Cousins is very good, is a good quarterback, but it's not like he's doing it with Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert. So it's exciting to see some just him ball out and do it that way. So yeah, it's just, we're seeing a really special player. And it's fun to listen to what other wide receivers, like when you hear, hey, Nuck Hopkins said this about what Justin Jefferson is doing, or that's always, and just how like elite wide receivers or what he's saying that he's doing at such a young age. That's always, that's a little, a couple of sprinkles on top, just how good Justin Jefferson's been.
I'm not going to lie, Dave. I was surprised that you moved Justin Jefferson above Ja'Marr Chase as well.
Justin Jefferson was my wide receiver one heading the season, and he's right there. Yeah, he was, love some Justin Jefferson.
Feverish number two.
So this makes Dave and I thunder buddies. I am also Justin Jefferson at number two. Apparently
too influenced by
apparently Jordan. We are just annoying. Chalk with no sense of individuality whatsoever. Because we like Justin Jefferson.
Because you didn't have them the same as mine, which would have been a way better color of chalk.
What I also love is Justin Jefferson's last three games. He has 1,288 yards thus far through 13 games. He gets the Bears, Rams, and Packers coming up. I think he's going to get over that 1,400 in 16 games. 16 games, Dave, beating his rookie season, which was just absolutely stellar. He has 5 100-yard games on the season, including a 182-yard game with one touchdown on 12 targets and 11 catches versus the crappy Lions. In week 13, love me some Justin Jefferson, number two.
And just one more Justin Jefferson point, too. What's fun about him is he does it in just a route running way. You see him, like last week, they highlighted him just like, hey, he just ran a great route right here. And it's nothing, a special route, just, you know, a crosser or like a, you know, an out route or something, like nothing crazy. And he gets serious separation, but then he also can go up and catch it over people and make tough catches. So he doesn't rely on contested catches. He can run routes and get open. He does it multiple, and he has the athleticism to do multiple different things, which is, and he throws the ball. He's got like a one attempt, and he's throwing the ball around a little bit too, just a little spice. So I think that's a fun part of his game. He's not just like a, you know, like Dez. Dez was a go up and get it, and he had to rely on his strength to go get it. And he's got a versatile wide receiver, which I like.
Doesn't do much. Dez Bryant had like two good seasons, and then he was really a diva.
Then but you know, but the archetype I'm trying to say, like,
yeah, it's just kind of mean.
I like the wordplay. Well done.
So I've got Swift at number two. I think this is where he should be. It's it even kind of, I wanted to be in this point of the season and have him be easily over Taylor, but I think that would be take lock for me to do that. To be honest with you, Taylor's in the exact situation we'd love to see Swift in right now. That said, I think Swift's situation is going to get better, and it doesn't take much for you to add on top of Swift to get my Taylor at this point, no matter the situation. I mean, my most recent trade for Swift, I traded away Jonathan Taylor and got back Swift and Darnell Mooney, and I feel fine about that. It might not have even taken Mooney. Probably would have done it for a second. That's how close I have them. If anything, I think they should almost be interchangeable. I could rank them next to each other. That said, that would be stubborn. Taylor is my number one. He's all of our number ones, and I think he has earned that spot.
Speaking of earning that spot, do you think Taylor has a chance to win MVP on the season? I think he does. I know it normally goes to a quarterback. We haven't seen a running back get it since 2012 with Adrian Peterson. But these quarterbacks, I think you would probably be looking at what, Tom Brady and maybe Aaron Rodgers as maybe your lead candidates.
Stafford is an underdog, but he's kind of struggled.
I don't think he's going to beat Brady. And then Kyler with him getting hurt and all. I feel like it's kind of primed for a running back to sneak in there. When you think about his team and what he means to that team. And again, that's usually why a quarterback gets it. I think Taylor's got an outside shot at MVP this season.
I mean, I would love to see it. I I don't hate the idea of it. I just don't know if I believe in the NFL like that.
Yeah.
But I hear you, though.
I compared the two seasons, the Adrian Peterson season, and they're similar. They really are. He's on pace for 2,200 all-purpose yards in 2021, and I think Peterson rushed for 2,097 that season. So, and Peterson had 2,314 all-purpose yards that season and 13 13 touchdowns. So that's where Taylor has them, is the TDs. So I don't know. It's more comparable than you think. And that, you know, and oh, wow, is both of them, really. You know, I think the oh, wow is Peterson, but I mean, both these running backs are having just unbelievable seasons. And it's not over. And I think he's got a shot. I really do, at MVP. I would like to see him get it. It's kind of boring quarterbacks getting it every single year.
Yeah, I agree.
A follow-up question for Swags. I know we want to get to a great segment here, but you talked about Swift's value. What about Swift puts him at that value for you? Just curious. You talked about like how you valued him, but like, what do you like about Swift?
His passing abilities, everything he does on a horrible team, he's far and exceeded the expectations given to him in the situation that he's had with the opportunities. You know, Fornero mentioned, at the beginning of the season, it would have been nice to see him carry the ball a little bit more, but he's been there in the passing game. He's leaned on him. They know the talent. He very rarely do you see somebody this young that doesn't even have to practice, and you know he's going to play every week. I mean, he's the star of the team. He's done a lot. He's been RB3 at times on the season. There's at times throughout the season that people had him as their dynasty RB1. It wasn't that long ago, but we seem to have forgotten that. And now he's out again. And I didn't forget it. I didn't forget any of that at all. And how he's helped all of my teams, and the cornerstone that he has been to any of my teams that are as far as they are right now are hurting without him. And he's a young, talented prospect. He's not some guy that fell into a position because somebody like DeAndre Swift got hurt. He's going to be around, you know. So this happens. It's just a shoulder injury. It's not the groin. I would be more concerned if it was that groin or something popped up with that, but it's a different injury. From
it was a freak injury too, tackled that game.
On, you know. Yeah. So, and in that game, he was already looking good. So DeAndre Swift has done everything to earn that spot. I mean, there's only a couple people that were even conceding that position in redraft, and Fornero mentioned them in like Eckler and Fournette, and they don't have that kind of dynasty value. So up until he went down, I mean, he's had a hell of a season. He's shown everything I thought he could be in a situation that was worse than I thought it would be this year with Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, just as a listener, I know, and then too, your co-host, I know why you like Swift, but we just know how much you like him and stuff. I enjoyed hearing like what the reason went.
Two first round picks next year for Detroit too. I mean, I don't know. I think Detroit's going to be a little bit disappointed, and we might not be after our quarterback next year. We might have another year with Jared Goff, but hopefully we improve in other areas and we get some wide receivers on the team. But I've enjoyed this Swift season a lot. I mean, I don't know. Swift had a decent season last year too. So it hurt me to put him at two in my rookie rankings here.
Back to my RB1. Taylor is the third fastest NFL player in the Super Bowl era to hit 30 touchdowns.
All right. On to some stocking stuffers.
Yep, yep.
Stocking the stuffers. It almost would have been more fun if I was giving you guys coal. I guess it's just coal no matter what, though, huh? So how do you want to start this, Fornero? We should probably explain the stocking stuffers to them.
Sure, sure. So I think the best way to explain it is a last year recap. Swags and I were on the show and we threw out our stocking stuffers. These were these little gifts you find in your stocking and we're so excited about. Some of them are little pieces of junk, but all of them are relatively cheap, right? They're not the big presents. They're not the real prizes underneath the tree. But these are things that we were going to stuff away and do hold value for us. Last year, Swags went ahead and pulled out Quintus Cephas, Jacob Eason, and he obviously put Jacob Eason out there in Superflex, and Darnell Mooney. I love that one. We called that the electric toothbrush. That's that gift that goes in the stocking. It's not as cheap as the other ones, but fits in there. I chose Colin Johnson, picking out that Cole and Connolly would move on, and he had a huge snap share at the end of the year. Oh, he's now a New York Giant. Cole Kmet and A.J. Dillon. He was my electric toothbrush. Somebody that wasn't super, super cheap, but super excited to put in the stocking. I remember you had seven people on your list, and Dillon wasn't on there, and you were excited he was on mine because people were forgetting about him at the end of the year. And we had talked about on that show that Jamal Williams was probably going to go bye-bye. That's exactly what happened. I was secretly hoping, and many were, that owned A.J. Dillon, that Aaron Jones would go by. But, you know, he carved out a role this season. Two pieces of coal. We'll each pick a piece of coal in this episode. Keyshawn Vaughn, easy piece of coal. Way to go there, Swags. And I went with Lynn Bowden, a third-round draft pick that got traded before the season even started for a fourth and sixth, cited for on and off the field. The guy was kind of a mess, cut bait, wound up on Miami. So we are going to each pick two stocking stuffers since we have Dave with us this year and one piece of coal.
All right. Dave, since you're the first timer and you weren't here last year, why don't you pull the first stocking stuffer?
So this stocking stuffer for me is it's big. It takes up a lot of the stuffing, or this takes up a lot of the stocking, and it's that piece of fruit that I get that my parents always put in the stocking every year. They always give me a pomegranate. I really love pomegranates, but I only eat it that one time a year, and it's Ramondre Stevenson. He's a big running back. He didn't cost a lot, and he's worked out a solid role in New England on what's turned into be a very good offense that he's paid some dividends. You know, when you get that third, fourth round pick in rookie drafts and you can get usable week out of that running back, that's exciting. And that's what that big chunky piece of fruit was for me. That pomegranate, my stocking, family tradition is, that's Ramondre Stevenson. Do you guys get fruit stockings growing up?
Yeah.
Or no?
Oranges or apples. Yep. Sure did. And a candy cane, some other stuff. Finero didn't get fruit in his stocking. I like the Stevenson stocking stuffer a lot, though. Be happy to wake up to that on Christmas morning.
I mean, it's no electric toothbrush. Don't get me wrong. It's not like that. Or it's not a diamond ring. It's not you're not proposing on Christmas, but it's it's definitely something nice. No,
well, the gifts are next week. We're doing gifts next week. Finero, what are you stuffing your stocking with?
All right, so my stocking stuffer that I chose was it's that the stocking's already full, right? It's already on the mantle. You already have all the toys in it, but you're in the store and you just see, oh, there's this last minute thing I think to just go in the stocking. It's not expensive. Matter of fact, it's probably the cheapest thing I'm going to put in there, but it's going to put a little smile on the face of whatever child opens it up. Josh Palmer, very, very late to the game. Received the most targets on his team this week, took advantage of an increased opportunity with Keenan Allen out. Looks like Keenan Allen's probably coming back, but I think he might have earned himself a little bit more playing time. Josh Palmer.
Wide receiver 19 last week. I like it, you know, and we're talking dynasty here. Mm-hmm. I would love to see some Josh Palmer. I had to start him in a couple leagues.
I did
just
too.
Because of situations, not because I'm savvy. Yep. I'm not going to sit here and be like, ooh, I knew it. It was totally situational, and I stuffed him into a couple lineups, and it paid off at the right times.
I had to choose between him and Guyton. I have Palmer and Guyton where I have Keenan.
Would have been nice too.
Where I have Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen went out, and I had to decide between Palmer and Guyton, and I went Palmer in one league and Guyton in another. I had to start both of them. It's been a rough year. It's been a rough year, but they're both playoff teams. So, like you said, I didn't want to start either, but I was pleasantly happy with both.
Yeah, it sure has. So moving to me, I've got some stocking stuffers too.
Rookie trivia?
Rookie fever trivia. So this rookie quarterback has the most 300-yard games amongst any other rookie quarterback this year. He is tied. Here's another hint. He is tied Lamar Jackson's number of 300-plus yard games in his 49 starts. And I think he is a nice little stocking stuffer. The most 300-yard games amongst rookie quarterbacks, and he's tied Lamar Jackson's total number of 300 or more yard games.
Does Mac Jones have three 300-yard games?
No.
I don't think he does, right?
It's I cheated, so I'm not going to say it, though. I couldn't think of it. I cheated.
I am stuffing my stocking with Davis Mills. I think that he could help your team in some situations at this point. Super cheap value. Again, he is definitely not the electric toothbrush. I'm sort of, he's like my Pez dispenser. I'm down to the lemon flavors, but I'm digging some Davis Mills right now and what he's seen, what he's done, and just kind of the small improvements, or I should even say the big improvements he's had sitting out for a while Tyrod Taylor was starting. And even you look at this last week, 33 completions, 49 attempts, 331 yards, not one turnover. Gets Cooks a 100-yard game. I think he's a nice little stocking stuffer this time of year with all of the COVID and different quarterback issues that some of us may have had throughout the season. But yeah, Davis Mills.
And he's been named the starter of the rest of the season too, which is a benefit.
I'll play Mills against Ian Predators if we meet together. How about that?
We'll stack that competition with some Brandon Cooks.
Nice. Steal points.
Yeah, I'm probably going to play Herbert and Kyler Murray against you, assuming Kyler Murray stays healthy for our playoff run here.
Yeah. So he'll take out his iPad that he got or his new PlayStation versus your Pez dispenser.
Yes.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I have a couple other quarterbacks.
Dave, who are you throwing in to your next stocking stuffer?
This is the spare phone charger, like the knockoff brand phone charger that your mom gets you, that got you in the, like the grocery store aisle, or like the Old Navy aisle that, you know, it's just filled in the stocking, or it's a like one of those portable phone charger battery things that ends up being tossed 3 years later because you never use it, but was valuable if you ever do need it. That spare charger comes in big places, and that's Khalil Herbert. He had two top 12 running back weeks this season. Those are usable weeks again. He did not come at a very high price. I think he was a fourth rounder most everywhere, maybe a late third. And to get two top 12 weeks, and you knew he was going to be starting, though. I'm pretty sure you knew he was starting those weeks ahead of time. So I'll take that. And he did. If I can get that out of a third round pick, I'm more than happy out of a rookie season for a running back.
Do you kind of feel like you got an open piece of chocolate, though, that somebody took a bite out of on Christmas morning with this one? Like, it's good chocolate. Don't get me wrong. It's okay chocolate. It wasn't the chocolate that was the problem.
I hear what you're saying. Or like when you actually do need that charger and someone's gone and taken it and using it for something else. Like, dude, I need that charger in a way. And then it's just taken from you. Like when you need it. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I personally like, love that analogy.
And they're like, you have your own charger. And you're like, yeah, but that one's my own too.
Yeah. And then it ruins Christmas for everybody when you give someone your brother a black eye or sister a black eye because they stole your charger. I mean, sorry, I thought this wasn't a therapy session. I forgot. Sorry.
Now the truth comes out, Mom, that he did give the black eye out.
Never happened. That was a totally fictitious story. But yeah,
feverish.
All right,
stuff in the stockings, tippy toes.
I'm pretty sure no one can top that analogy. I love it. But I'm gonna basically, my next guy is, you know how like the prices always seem to go up right around Christmas time? It's like I could have bought that thing a month ago for a lot less. This is my next stocking stuffer. It's gotten a little pricey to go in the stocking, but I think it still fits in there, and that is Amon-Ra St. Brown. 12 targets in each of his last two games back-to-back, 18 catches, 159 yards, and we all know that game-winning touchdown. Now has 57 catches for 511 yards and just that one touchdown that we all know. I think he's going to be targeted a ton this week. I think he's startable. I really do. I think he's going to get targeted a ton versus Arizona, and then he gets the Falcons and the Seahawks after that. I think he's got a nice little stretch here where his value is going to get even higher.
Yeah. I love it. He was actually going to be one of my stocking stuffers as well. But like you said, targeted 12 times over the last 2 weeks, 24 targets over the last two weeks.
That's crazy. And then that's Waddle. Like
week 13, he was wide receiver 6, and we didn't even mention it last week, really. Yeah. But definitely deserves a mention. I'm super jealous that you got that in your stocking and there wasn't enough to go around. That ticks me off.
I'll share.
I don't feel like that's right, so I'm trying to pull an audible here.
In my stocking stuffer swap?
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we can make a trade here. We'll see how this works out. Because I got something that, like, mom and dad knew wasn't what I wanted, but they're trying to pass it off as something that I wanted still. And
that's the worst. They're
telling me everybody likes it, and I should be fine with it, and just kind of get over it. And they're like, no, it is, you know, and they're trying to convince me that it wasn't the same cartoon as He-Man was, but I'm just not buying it.
It's a GoBot?
And it's Kadarius Phony. I got Kadarius Phony in my stocking, and I feel like it should have been Cole, but I know that a lot of kids would be really excited about getting some Kadarius Phony, but I'm not buying it. Still the same. They're trying to talk me into it, and it's in my damn stocking. And I wish I would have gotten Amon-Ra St. Brown. I wish I got your guys' stockings.
The question about Amon-Ra is, Swags, is he out of the corner? It was Amon-Ra St. Brown voice. Is he now? I noticed Finero gave us the Amon-Ra voice. Is that what he is again now?
Super jealous tonight, Dave. I was coming in strong with it. So, but I'm going to leave it at that. And Finero did an admirable job. But yeah, I was coming in strong with some Amon-Ra St. Brown love. I was ready for it. Yeah.
At least he's out of the corner.
And yeah, like I said,
he's earned it.
Finero's over there, even like in his corner with his Josh Palmer and his Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's just like digging through it and taunting me every time mom and dad turn their back, like waving into my face as they're trying. He has plenty of time because they're trying to talk me into Kadarius Phony, but it is what it is. I am fortunate for my stocking stuffers still the same.
Ooh, we get to go Cole next?
Cole.
Nice.
Coming up.
Three pieces of Cole coming your way, Rookie Fever Nation.
Full disclosure, Kadarius Tony was going to be my Cole, but I was going to kind of do it the same way. But
that was a nice audible then. That was elegant. If you hadn't told us, I think I wouldn't even know.
Edit it out for the guests.
You got to take it out twice then. Who's up first?
Why don't you go, Finero? We'll switch it up a little bit here.
This is a name that we have not heard very much, but boy, did we hear it a ton going into rookie drafts. A ton. And I bet you don't. And he wasn't even drafted by an NFL team. But as soon as this team picked him up, boy, did we hear about Javion Hawkins, Mike Davis is knowing, Javion Hawkins, that boy's going to take the job. He didn't even earn a job on this team, doesn't even make the team. Now he's a Ram. I'm not even sure how many of our listeners even know that. As soon as Akers goes down, he wasn't even on the team back then. They wound up getting Sony. Henderson goes down, still nope, no Hawkins, nowhere to be found. Oh, what happened after that? Sargent gets signed, another undrafted rookie that couldn't make it on the Tennessee Titans after Henry got hurt. He's in front of Javion Hawkins. Could there be a bigger piece of Cole than Javion Hawkins?
It's a pretty big piece of Cole. It's a pretty big piece of Cole.
He was getting drafted before Eli Mitchell.
Yeah, man, Mitchell was a hell of a deal, though. I mean, and I'll throw some Cole at you, too, but we'll let Dave go first.
So this player has 10 snaps on the 10 offensive snaps on the season. They have played in 8 games despite being a second round pick. That's Tutu Atwell for the Rams. You know, you see that second round draft capital, and yeah, he was diminutive in size, but you see that draft capital. Matthew Stafford's the quarterback. You know, you think you're getting you thought you were a good boy this year. You're like, hey, mom and dad, I stopped throwing, putting rocks in my snowballs or ice chunks in my snowballs and throwing at people. I did that like a month ago. I've been best behavior. No. Santa was watching all year round. And you get Tutu Atwell with your second round rookie pick, and it ends up being a lump
People
of coal.
People forgot he killed Van Jefferson at one point before the season started. I mean, there was a lot of Tutu Atwell love out there. I love that one. I did have him down as mine, as one of mine. I'm glad you mentioned, which kind of gives me the opportunity to segue off Finero and the Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon. Because I wanted to mention somebody that at one point I would have been happy to get probably as a gift, let alone a stocking stuffer. But at this point, if I get him in my stocking, I know I've been naughty and I don't want any Trey Sermon, and he is my Cole as well. And a lot of that is the draft capital that went into him to get him. Luckily, for as much as I did get into him, I only ended up with a couple shares. I think I only have one left at this point, but more concerned about your fantasy teams, and hopefully I didn't hurt any of them. So Trey Sermon in the coal bin.
That's a good one. I considered both Trey Sermon and Tutu. Tutu I left out just barely, just because Van Jefferson didn't do a whole lot his rookie season, and it seems like that's the prototype for that team, right? They brought DeSean Jackson in. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's something to see there in year two.
And Cole does become diamond, right? Does that happen somehow?
Ooh, I don't know if he's got a diamond in him, but
it could happen.
I don't know if he's got a diamond in him, but he might have a diamond game next season, but I don't know if he's got a diamond season in him, but I don't know. They drafted him, like you said, pretty high, so he's not going anywhere. That's one. Two, they're kind of stacked at that position, and that does change. Injuries, we've seen it, all kinds of things. And I think maybe that's a system you need to wait a year in. Van Jefferson's looking good. I'm not saying they're the same player, but they do kind of have a similar game to stretching the field downfield, and Tutu definitely has that speed. So, you know, Stafford stays healthy on this team. He's got a good situation. DeSean Jackson's not going to be here. We all know that. So
maybe Robert Woods will be back probably, right? I mean,
Probably.
I'm not dropping from taxi squads. I'm not going to drop Tutu Atwell from a taxi squad or anything. I'm not saying I'm not saying he's like waiver wire fodder in these deeper dynasty leagues by any means, but
yeah. And they get.
Oh, did I interrupt your thought? Do you want to go before Rookie Fever trivia? What were you going to say there?
I was just going to say that. And the get out on Trey Sermon was weeks ago.
It's almost
too late at this point.
So long ago at this point.
Yeah.
Rookie Fever trivia. Who has the most all-purpose yards amongst rookies and has never made the top 12 list? So combination of the most yards, not amongst rookies, but the most yards that has never made the top 12 list.
So the best of the worst, right?
Yes.
So
and now
all top 12s are disqualified. All purpose
yards.
Right, but all 12 are disqualified. Anybody who's been in the top 12 is disqualified.
Right, yes.
So anyone who's not done that, who's
never
the best
of the list.
Never been there. Okay.
I was just looking at names to try to think of what one would be.
All purpose.
Can't think of a name. Yeah, no, I'm just looking at the names. I can't even think of anyone who would have been it. Maybe
it'll be obvious when I say it. Really? That's what I think. That's what I believe. A little bit obvious. Obviously, it's not obvious. But that's why it's important. It's all purpose yards.
And you're not doing. It's not special teams, right?
All purpose yards.
Oh, it's Jefferson Place.
He got a touchdown. I thought he got top 12 one week. Donnie Brown, has he ever been top
12?
Dave, I don't think our scoring has special teams.
So it's not special teams. Okay.
Well, our scoring. He's still a rookie that has.
Oh, gotcha. So this is a guy that plays special teams. Back to where I was.
Help me out here.
Kenyane. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Backup running back for the Vikings.
He's a nice stash, dude. I wish I had him somewhere to stash.
Nice little stash. That's why I wanted to find a way to mention him here.
Super dynamic. I love that one. I love that you brought up that name.
It's good to see him getting a little bit of time, though, in the special teams.
And yeah, because they have to play him, dude. He's electric. Yep.
And if Dalvin ever runs into any legal troubles down the road here, you just never know.
I love that name. Such a great stash. What a nice way to end the whole segment with that name. I love it.
Going very good. I love the rookie trivia. We don't get to talk about Kane. I'm not even swag.
Yeah, so you should have just said
we already butchered it once.
But I did want to go back to Kadarius Phoney. For me, he reminds me of that gift that you were wicked excited for but broke on Christmas. Like, I was like, oh, this is really cool. But it just broke down and it just couldn't hold up on Christmas. It didn't even make it to Boxing Day.
Yeah. I think Will Fuller's played 55% of his NFL games to this point in his 7 or 8 year career. I don't know why I mentioned him.
But we all know that gift that we like, hey, this is actually kind of flashy. I'm kind of excited about it. It like it showed some promise. Maybe I'll have fun with it. And then it just didn't hold up. And I'm not saying he's dead either by any means as far as a fantasy asset, but that's just what – that's the archetype of a gift it reminded me of.
You know, but I mean, it does get to this point though where you do have to make some decisions where they're not dead, but when are you going to start them versus what could you do with them today and what will they ever be? You know, especially if your team is deep at wide receiver, then you're definitely not starting him. You don't even, you know what I mean? So if you're in that situation where you have this valuable piece that could, was almost, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, I think you just move on from Kadarius Toney and reap the rewards of what people call potential, which is a word for people that have really done nothing yet, and that he still has that. So I think that you could take advantage of that today. And that's our final thoughts.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Final thoughts. This was too fun of an episode for my final thoughts.
That was fun. We got to do this every year.
Yeah, man, we do. We did it last year. We'll do it next year. Next week, we'll be back with some Christmas vacation and Christmas gifts. We're stepping it up with the gifts. We had gifts last year, too. Everybody have a happy holiday if you don't hear this. We'll be around, though. Check out Rookie Fever's story. I don't know if it's too late or not to get the Rookie Fever stuff delivered by Christmas. There is a 10% code that comes out, and that I'll have to find that code, but that is a one-day sale that's tomorrow, so the 16th, which is probably when you're hopefully listening to this if you're trying to stay ahead of the curve, because we keep you straight at Rookie Fever. Be the first ones to listen. Are we missing anything? Five-star review. Who are you guys?
I am the Feverish Finero. You can find me at Aardvark TV on the Twitterverse.
I'm Mr. Nothing's in a Vacuum at FF underscore Spaceman on Twitter. No, find me over at FF underscore Spaceman on the tweet machine.
You can get the Nothing in the Vacuum stores at the Rookie Fever store too, though. And that doesn't have, those aren't going away. The Christmas shirts will.
It's one of my favorites.
And that link is right in the description of the podcast you are listening to right now. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Silence speech just unreal. Landing spot not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever. So she got the fever. And he got the fever. No cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. What a lovely way to burn.